This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business with Sfiso Skhendlana, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
It is 49 minutes after 6 o'clock, Power Listener, of course. Yeah, it's that season, of course, where we've been deliberating on matric results. We've been thinking about, of course, also pressure points that it translates in terms of POPIA. And really, I think the protection of information and all of the, the confines that are, detailed in that particular act. And so certainly, I think we saw a little bit of headbutting that was happening, really, I think, between the information regulator and DBE, particularly around the process of the publication of matric results as well, and ultimately how it complies with POPIA requirements. And I think it's been a big question in general, where a lot of people don't feel like POPIA is meaningfully coming into effect in the way in which really I think they're getting all of these unsolicited direct calls and everything. But really, I think more than anything, also just getting into a space of really understanding, particularly then, the context of POPIA compliance in the context of matric and DBE space as well. So we are joined online by Mo Berger-Schmidt, who is, of course, Head of Regulatory Practice at Workmen's Attorneys. Mo, good evening and welcome to the show.
Evening, and thank you for having me. And wow, what an important issue to discuss, because I think you're 100% correct. Everyone complains about unsolicited calls, and then they say, but this POPIA Act is worth nothing. And what was it all about?
And maybe let's start in the context of just the overarching kind of legal framework and some of the pressure points that then were imminent in the context of the publication of matric results, etc. And ultimately, I think we can ultimately close off with the conversation that is this thing even doing what it needs to do at this point in time?
So, I think the first part of departure should be the fact that when we talk about matric results, we're talking about the information to a large extent of minors, those children that haven't turned 18 yet, and the POPIA legislation that specifically deals with the information of children that you can't process it. And if I talk about processing, that's that publication of the child's information without consent of a guardian. That's a big part of what we're talking about. But then also, we've got the group of children that have now turned 18 or they're 19 or 20. They're not children anymore. And that information doesn't fall under these provisions dealing with the special information of children. Mm. And how do we publish that? But I think the key of all of this lies in the fact that, a lot of schools have embarked on a process of obtaining the consent of learners as well as parents to publish the information. And that is what we need to focus on if we have this debate.
Sure. And I mean, I think, it's always interesting when kind of legal frameworks get promulgated or at least, kind of brought into the space. And it's almost like it's in that process where we start to realize some of the blind spots in the design aspects of that particular framework that we may have missed. In this particular conversation as well, what are the other blind spots that are seemingly emerging, more particularly around this particular legislative framework?
I think what we need to remind ourselves is that this legislation, this piece of legislation, was drafted by our parliamentarians in 2013 already. It's 10 years ago, and the world doesn't stand still. Technology has developed significantly over the past 10 years. And then if we critically evaluate the legislation, we need to ask ourselves, you rightly say, what are the shortcomings of the legislation? And I think we take guidance from leading jurisdictions because, where we were in a position, the beginning of 2020, where approximately 20% of countries had data privacy legislation. It is projected that by the end of this year, 2023, 80% of countries will have data privacy legislation. So this is a field that develops so quickly. And the core that we're considering here, this legislation, we refer to it as it's principle-based. And if we say principle-based, it actually means that it spells out certain, almost like a Bill of Rights. These are the right to privacy and the principles that the legislation prescribes. How do you acknowledge this right to privacy? How do you give credence to this right to privacy? Because we're so fortunate as a South African society, where each one of us have got a right to privacy. And I think part of the problem lies with us. We don't realize how valuable our personal information is. You know, it is actually a commodity. People trade in personal information. That is why cyber criminals use the dark web to sell personal information, because they make loads of money from it. And we, you and I, and every single listener need to realize, you know, we can't just click terms and conditions and accept it and carry on. We need to realize, what are you, business, going to do with my personal information? And from a business perspective, there is a responsibility to acknowledge and respect the right of privacy of the data subject.
Sure. And I mean, I think it's an interesting one. And, you know, I will come back to just the responsibility of the consumer as well. But as you're making mention, Namo, around, you know, just the sheer amount of shift that has taken place between when, I guess, this bill was first considered and ultimately to where we are today, technologically, lots has changed. And I think for me, then the question is, how do we adapt our legislating process and legislative process to ensure that it's able to be adaptive and agile in the way in which it responds to the shifts in the market? You know, how do we reimagine new modes and forms of consultation, public consultation, etc.? All of the things that go into the legislating process to ensure that we are able to be a lot more responsive to the fast changing nature of technology, insofar as it also then impacts some of our frameworks.
So I don't think it's a unique problem in South Africa. Every single country faces this. But you ask me, how do we create a miracle? Because at the end of the day, we've got a constitutional democracy, which is world class. We can be proud of it as South Africans. And the duty and the responsibility rests on the parliamentarians to move quicker, to be more agile, and to actually keep up with changing times. You know, I applaud our president for saying that the fourth industrial revolution is so important for this country. It will help us to create jobs. It will help us to grow the economy. But our legislation lags, and we need to move quicker the processes, the parliamentarians. And isn't the problem, or the question then, how do we all, as each and every South African, focus on the growth of this country, of which law is a part of? It's a sliver of what we need to do to move things, to grow quicker and to be better. And the duty rests on the parliamentarians, because the courts can act within the ambit of the legislation that our parliamentarians produce. And then at the end of the day, with all due respect, that the president has to sign off on, and how long that period takes to sign off on the legislation is very important to, once it's gone through the parliamentarian process, to actually sign off on the legislation for it to be implemented and become effective.
Sure. And then just very quickly then, I mean, you know, we spoke about the economics of trading of personal information and just how big that is in the economy, you know, both, as an over-the-counter type of sale. And this is where people haven't read their T's and C's, but it's, of course, also through malfeasance, when people, of course, want to, you know, send malware and all of those things. Is there a provision that we can put in our legislative frameworks that absolutely prohibits the outright sale or the additional sale? So even if, let's say, I didn't read my T's and C's the first time around, if you want to resell my data or information at a later stage, you need to come back and solicit the consent. Can we? Is there something that we can explore in terms of amendments of our legislative framework for that?
Yeah. So what you're referring to is data ownership. And how do we deal with data ownership? So it's easy for me as Worksmans and as a Worksmans director to know that I need to advise my clients that they need to own the data, that they always need to make provision and agreements that they own the data. Now, there's also a question as to consumers, because there's a massive international NGO project ongoing that's driven out of the States to investigate how do we actually teach individuals that we refer to as data subjects from a POPIA perspective, a data privacy perspective, on how valuable their information is and that they ought to be able to commoditize, get paid for the use of their personal information. So this is an evolving area of law internationally to think about it. But that data ownership is important. So in some African jurisdictions, we also get the concept of data localization, which means the personal information should remain in the country so we can protect the citizens' information. And if we look at, Facebook and WhatsApp and all these massive corporate players, what they do with information and how they handle information, that all comes into play in this situation. So these are things that we critically need to think about and consider.
Sure. And I mean, on the exploration of, the ability to commoditize one's data, you really, as I was thinking about it, I think there is already one of these ad agencies that will, say that you get rewards for choosing which ads that you want to see. So I think it's certainly going to be an interesting one to see as that, grows. And then certainly, I think, ultimately bring the value back to the person who owns that particular data. But I'm more thank you very much, and wishing you a lovely evening further.
Same to you. Have a good evening, and to your listeners.
100%. Power listener, that was Amor Berger-Smith, who is Head of Regulatory Practice at Workman's Attorney, and certainly, I think, really giving us some reflections on POPIA, particularly the pressure point that was pertaining to the releasing of information of minors who may be matrix, but of course who are not of majority age. But also I think getting into a more macro conversation around legislation in general, how this, the POPIA design aspects were more principle based in their approach, but we've got to be able to reimagine models around what does agile legislative processes look like, just so that we can respond, I think, timeously as well to all the technological developments that are happening in our marketplace.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.